turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. A couple of weeks, we'll probably begin a new series on church covenant. Tonight, we'd like to look here in Exodus, chapter 13. We'll read verses 20 through verse 22 of Exodus, chapter 13. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. We see that the Jews' journey from Egypt to Canaan through the wilderness for 40 years is, of course, filled with spiritual truth, filled with many valuable lessons for you and I, filled with many warnings for you and I, alerting us of the dangers of living in this world. The Israelites, here in Exodus 13, they've just experienced the Passover in chapter 12, which of course was a clear picture of salvation. Now they must begin their journey to Canaan. Again, Canaan is not a picture of heaven, but it is a picture of growth in the Christian life. It's from Egypt to Canaan, we see they're on a journey. A journey to spiritual maturity, to spiritual victory, to the enjoyment of God's best. And that's what Canaan represents. Canaan represents spiritual maturity, spiritual victory, and simply enjoying the blessings of the Lord. So I want to speak tonight on the journey into spiritual maturity and victorious living. Many who profess to be saved, though they are on this journey, are very much like the children of Israel. They never get to Canaan. They never get there. They just spend their entire saved life going in circles, never really getting anywhere. And that was the case with most of Israel, as we know. Now, we see here in verse 20, and they took their journey. They took their journey. Now, a journey is traveling from one place to another. If we turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, we see the first Bible use of the word journey in Genesis chapter 11 in verse 2. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Here they journeyed from the east. And if you read on there in Genesis chapter 11, you see the next activity was the building of the wicked tower of Babel. So they went from the east and they built this tower of Babel. Now we come to Exodus chapter 13, and they are journeying from Egypt to Canaan, which means they are going back toward the east, which means that they are going in a different direction from the wicked after the flood. And it is important in which direction you and I are headed. We're all headed right now. We're all headed in a specific direction. And it is so important which direction we're headed in. Many are headed in the wrong direction. The children of Israel, many times in their wilderness journeys, went in the wrong direction. They got sidetracked. And so it is with many of God's people. So they took their journey from Egypt to Canaan. Now, in many ways, a journey, of course, is a picture of the Christian life. Paul constantly talks about our walk with the Lord. Peter refers to us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 as strangers and pilgrims here on earth. We are on a journey. We are reminded in John 17 when Jesus is praying for his own that we are not in the world. He said there in, or that we are in the world, he said in John 17 and verse 11, these are in the world. These are in the world. But he goes on to say that they are not of the world. In verse 16 of John 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You and I, as God's people, are in the world. It's the only way we can live this life is in the world. But we are not to be of the world, which means we always must be headed in the right direction. It's so important that we stay on the journey. So important that we do not get sidetracked. The moment you and I were saved, we began a journey. Not just a journey to heaven, but a journey to spiritual maturity, a journey into victorious living. And that's a journey that we ought to be making progress in every single day. Every single day we ought to be making some progress in spiritual maturity and victorious living. And the two, of course, go hand in hand. The reason that so many... We all have defeats from time to time, but there are some of God's people who live in the realm of defeat. And the reason is because they're spiritually immature. It's not just because they got bad luck. It's not just because of their circumstances. It's due to spiritual immaturity. So we're on this journey, a journey toward spiritual maturity. It began the day we were saved. Now notice the nature of this journey. Again, following the Passover, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, and in Exodus 12 and verse 37, they went from Ramses to Succoth, and now in our text we read, they journey from Succoth to encamp in Etham. And that shows us the nature, that they went to Succoth, then they went from Succoth to Etham. That tells us something about the nature of the journey. Succoth simply means tents or booths. And this goes along with what we read in Hebrews 13 and verse 14, that here we have no continuing city. We've got to remember that as we make this journey. Here, in this world, we have no continuing city. In other words, though we are in this world we are not to make our home. The very moment you make the world your home, you have ceased in the journey into spiritual maturity. You're not going to grow. You're not going to advance spiritually. So we always have to keep in mind Succoth, tents and booths. The next stop we see is they encamped in Etham. And notice what it says, in the edge or at the mouth of the wilderness or the desert, which simply means difficulty was ahead. There they are at the very edge of the desert. Tents and booths, here we have no continuing city. They are at the very edge of the wilderness in Etham, which simply says there is difficulty ahead. What lies ahead is going to take some effort. And that is our journey. That's the nature of our journey. Here we have no continuing city, and difficulty lies ahead. And this difficulty is going to require some effort on our part. Now, the Israelites, of course, serve as a warning to all of God's people. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 2. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. There are 11 days' journey. That's how long it should have taken. If you look at, if you've got a map in your Bible, you look at a map, and the Israelites just went in circles, one circle after another. The trip should have taken 11 days. In 11 days, they should have gotten from the Red Sea to Canaan. 11 days. But it took them 40 years and two generations. What could have taken 11 days took 40 years. And that's pretty accurate picture of many children of God today. Where they should have been in 11 days, they're still not there, and they've been saved 35, 40, and 50 years. Just like the children of Israel. They go in endless circles. And they go in endless circles for the same reasons that the children of Israel went in endless circle. The reason it took 40 years was sin. The reason it took 40 years in particular was the sin of unbelief. They just did not believe. They just would not step out by faith and trust the Lord. Notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Book of Hebrews, chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That is, the days when the children of Israel provoked the Lord. And they provoked the Lord with unbelief. And unbelief still provokes the Lord. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me or tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why did it take 40 years? Because they were always erring in their heart. And why were they always erring in their heart? Because they did not believe. And their constant erring in their heart also led to ignorance. They have not known my ways. And you talk to the majority of professing Christians today, and they are ignorant of God's ways. They know very little about the ways and the leadings of God, because they're just like the children of Israel, and they just go in continuous circles. Then notice, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They would not enter the land of Canaan. They would not get to that place of enjoying God's best. Canaan was God's best for the children of Israel. And many of them never got there. They never got there. And every child of God is blessed of God. There's no question about that. But not every child of God enjoys the blessings of God. In fact, most don't. Because they never get Canaan. They never get there in this life. Then he goes on, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. A lack of faith is not just a fault. It's not just a minor character flaw. It proceeds from an evil heart. An evil heart of unbelief. And this will lead you to depart from God. And the more you depart from God, the longer it's going to take you to reach spiritual maturity. And that's, again, where many are today. But exhort one another daily. And again, this is a daily journey. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that was the children of Israel. They were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the more you are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, the longer you are going to wander and probably never reach spiritual maturity in this life. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in. It was not possible for them to enter into Canaan because of unbelief. It was not possible for them to enjoy God's best because of unbelief. It was not possible for them to live victorious lives because they constantly were murmuring and complaining and doubting the Lord. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So there they are, they're on a journey. Began with salvation. Our journey begins with salvation. We are on a journey to spiritual maturity, to victorious living, to enjoying God's blessings in our life. A journey that should have taken 11 days, took 40 years, and in that 40 years, many of them never did make it. And so it is with many of God's people today. They never get there. They never, again, we're not talking about heaven. We're talking about spiritual maturity. We're talking about victorious living. And how sad it is that some of God's people never get there. They never reach the point where they are consistently, I'm not saying they never have some victories, but where they are consistently living a victorious life. They never get there for the same reasons that the children of Israel did not get there. Now, God has provided a guide for our journey. And he provided a guide for the children of Israel. We see in this world, of course, is polluted. This world is ignorant of Jesus Christ. This world hates Jesus Christ. This world is filled with the things that offend Jesus Christ. The world is filled with evil, filled with wickedness and ungodliness. And it is pictured throughout the Word of God as a wilderness. And we journey through a wilderness. A wilderness is a place of desolation. In this world, it's desolation. This world has nothing that can feed our spiritual life. It's desolation. In this world, just like a wilderness, in a wilderness you are in danger of wandering aimlessly. So it is in this world. If you do not follow God's provided guide, you will wander aimlessly in this world. You will wander aimlessly. The wilderness can be a solitary place. The wilderness can be a very restless place, an unsettled place. Spiritually, we cannot settle down in this world. We find no rest in this world. Just like the dove from the ark found no rest. Found no rest in the polluted waters. The wilderness can be a place of danger, a place of desolation, a place of trouble, a place of distress. And we're in a wilderness. We journey through a wilderness to get to Canaan. But God does not leave us without a guide. God has provided every one of us with a guide. And this guide always leads in the direction of spiritual maturity, in the direction of victorious living. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, we read, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's the Lord's promise to each and every one of his spirit, of his children. And we see that the way that he guided Israel here in Exodus 13 and throughout the book of Exodus is a picture of the way he guides you and I by the person of the Holy Spirit. That is our guide through this life. That is our guide along this journey. So this is a picture of the way that God leads his people today. Now you'll notice here in Exodus chapter 13, in Exodus 12 you read of the Passover. The guidance was not given until Israel had the blood applied. No cloud without the blood. No Holy Spirit without the blood. You do not receive the Spirit of God until you have been washed in the blood of Christ, until you have been saved. You'll notice also the Jews did not seek the cloud. They did not seek the cloud. It was God's idea. It was given to them without them ever asking. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. When you and I were saved, God gave us His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit indwells within us. It is God's gift to us. And just as that cloud led the children of Israel, so does the Holy Spirit lead all who are saved. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children or the sons of God." All sons of God have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. All sons of God have the Holy Spirit to guide them in this journey. And it is a journey toward spiritual maturity. Notice here in Exodus 13 verse 20, "They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." And then notice verse 21. "And the Lord went before them." You'll notice Lord is all capital letters. Jehovah, the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Jehovah, the one who supplies all of our needs and is everything we need. We read, "went before them." Now, the word "went" simply means to walk. The Lord walked before them. The Lord goeth before them. And here's how he did it. The Lord went before them, notice, by day. And if if you skip a few words, he also went before them by night. So day and night, the Lord went before them. Day and night, the Lord was there. And so it is with you and I as we take this journey, whether it be daytime, whether it be nighttime, we have his presence. We have his presence as a guide. Now notice it tells us how he went before them. He went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. And he went before them at night in a pillar of fire. Day and night, the Lord's presence was a pillar. A pillar is a column. It's something that stands upright. And the Lord stood before them as a pillar, day and night. A pillar speaks of strength, speaks of stability. And the Lord went before them as a pillar. In the daytime, he was there as a pillar. In the nighttime, he was there as a pillar. He was before them. He was in front of them. They could see him. And he was there as their strength and their guide. So the cloud was a constant presence and an everywhere presence. Throughout the Old Testament, we are told of three positions that the cloud assumed for Israel. But whatever position the cloud assumed, it was always a pillar. It was always strength. It was always that which was stable. God has provided you and I with the Holy Spirit, which is stability, which is strength. But notice three positions in Exodus 14, in verse 19. Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. That is, the pillar assumed the position, it stood between them and their foes. The Egyptians were pursuing them. So the pillar went from in front of them to behind them. In other words, stood between them and their foes. Speaking of protection, he was between them and their enemies. Holy Spirit provides protection on our journey. Then notice in the book of Numbers chapter 9, the book of Numbers chapter 9, and we'll read verse 17. Numbers 9, verse 17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. It went before them. Went before them. Wherever the cloud stopped, that's where the children of Israel were to stop. Went before them. Then notice in Numbers chapter 10, verse 34. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. It was behind them, between them and their enemies. It was before them to lead them, and it was upon them. In other words, they are surrounded by this cloud. And so it is with you and I, with the Holy Spirit. God was present in this cloud. And God is present with you and I today in the person of the Spirit. Notice in Exodus 14, verse 24 and 25, we see the Lord's presence in this cloud. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians, notice, through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, which was that cloud. God was in it, God's presence, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So we see they take their journey, and God has provided them a cloud. Cloud by day, a fire by night. Both times, a pillar. And then notice, the cloud was given to guide the children of Israel. Notice again in Exodus 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way. To lead them, to guide them, to govern them in the way. I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit is not going to lead God's people to do some of the things that God's people claim the Spirit of God's leading them to do. It's not going to happen. The Spirit of God is never going to lead contrary to His Word. He's never going to lead contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll always lead us closer. He'll always lead us closer to spiritual maturity. If you're not going in that direction, it's because you're not following the Spirit of God. So we see here in verse 21 that He is there to lead them the way. Now, the word way means a road or a path. He will lead them the way, down the road, in the path. It speaks, a road or a path speaks of that which is firm and well established. And as long as we are following the Spirit of God, we are going down that which is firm, that which is well established. The world at large knows nothing about it. But as long as we are following the Spirit of God, we are in the way that is firm. We are in the way that is well established. And you get out of that way, and you begin to wander. So we see the cloud was given them to lead them, but it was also given to illuminate. Notice again in verse 21, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To give them light, or to give them illumination. So whether by day or night, they had something by which they could walk and travel. Notice the last phrase of verse 21, to go by day and by night. The cloud was there. The fire was there so that they could go by day and by night. You see, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was daytime. It didn't matter if it was nighttime. They could go. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it be daytime or nighttime. It doesn't matter if it be pleasant times or unpleasant times. If it be easy times or difficult times. It doesn't matter. We can still stay in the way. We can still be making progress in our journey. And that's the key, is that no matter if it be day or night, we're always making progress in our spiritual journey, in spiritual maturity. Now, notice in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, and verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Wherein they should go. You and I have the Holy Spirit
showing us where we should go. Whether it be daytime or nighttime, it doesn't matter. We have the Spirit of God showing us where we should go. And as long as we follow the Spirit's leading, we're making progress in our journey. But it takes faith. It takes faith to follow the Spirit's leading, because the Spirit's leading will not always make sense to you and I. But all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is follow. And as long as we do that, we're going to make spiritual progress. I'm so glad that we have the guiding hand of God directing our path, leading us in the way, and showing us the way that we should go. So the cloud was given to them to lead them and to illuminate them. The Spirit of God is given to you and I to lead us, to illuminate us. But we see also the cloud was given for a covering as well. In the daytime, of course, it was very hot in that desert. And they would not be able to continue on their journey. So the cloud was given for a covering. Notice in Psalm 105, verse 39. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. So that cloud in the daytime was for Israel's protection from the scorching heat of the sun. And when that cloud covered them, it provided refreshment to the Israelites as they walked. So it is with you and I. The Spirit of God covers us. The Spirit of God protects us. The Spirit of God provides refreshment on our journey. You cannot afford to get away from the Spirit of God's leading. You lose out on every end, and you end up wandering and never reaching Canaan. We see also that God spoke from this cloud. Notice in Psalm 99, in verse 7. Psalm 99, verse 7. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. He spake from that cloud. God still speaks to His people. Speaks through the Holy Spirit. We read His Word, the Spirit of God speaks to us. We sit and listen to the preaching of God's Word, and God's Holy Spirit speaks to us. Children of Israel had this advantage. The Lord spoke to them from the cloud. God speaks to me and to you every day. He speaks. But how often we provoke Him because we turn a deaf ear to the leading, to the guiding of the Spirit of God. The cloud was also darkness to the Egyptians. Notice in Exodus chapter 14, in verse 20. It's talking about the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them in verse 19, and it, the pillar of cloud, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. Again, it shows the protection of the Lord. But it was light to the Israelites. It was darkness to the Egyptians. Lost people cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's darkness to them. And one of the reasons that professing Christians do not ever seem to understand the Word of God is because the Spirit of God is darkness unto them. In other words, they're lost. So the cloud was darkness to the Egyptians. But I want you to notice also the cloud was unchanging. It was unchanging. This cloud and this fire, as you read Exodus 13, verses 20 through 22, was in the configuration of a pillar. Every day and every night. Though it changed positions from time to time, as we've already seen, it was always in the configuration of a pillar. Nothing changed that. No matter what day it was, no matter what a day might bring, it was a pillar. No matter what a night might bring, it was a pillar. No matter what the weather, no matter how hot it might have become, no matter how hard the winds might have blown, it remained a pillar. In other words, this cloud was not under the control of the weather. It was not under the control of the circumstances. It remained the same. And so it is with you and I. Our circumstances change by the minute at times, but we have a guide that remains the same all the way through. It does not change. He is unchangeable. He is strong. He is clear. He's undisturbed by all the winds. By all the winds of false doctrine, the Spirit of God remains a pillar to guide us. To guide us toward spiritual maturity. The Spirit of God remains the same, no matter what. That's always so. Aren't you glad that that's true? For the whole of their journey, the cloud was there faithfully to guide them. Notice verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God never left His people. And it is still true today. Hebrews 13:5 declares, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We are on a journey, not just a journey to heaven, but a journey to spiritual maturity in this life, a journey to victorious living in this life. And it's so important that we stay on the journey, that we do not get sidetracked. There's only one way that can happen, and that is we follow the Spirit's leading day and night. That you do not stop. Make some spiritual progress every day. Some days we may not make as much as others, but we ought to make some every single day. There are some tonight that have been spiritually stagnant for years. And if you're honest, you haven't made any spiritual progress in years. Just like the children of Israel, which should have taken 11 days took 40 years. How sad. How sad that God's people wander in circles because we don't have to. We don't have to. We can live victoriously. But that is done by following the Lord's leading. And that takes faith. That means every now and then, the Spirit of God, you see, the Spirit of God is not always going to keep you in your so-called comfort zone. That's not how He operates. The Spirit of God is going to lead you out of your comfort zone. And therein lies the problem with many of God's people. They have created a comfort zone, and they have no intention of leaving that comfort zone. No intention whatsoever. They will serve the Lord in a very minimal way in that comfort zone. But they will never, as long as they stay there when the Spirit of God is leading them out, they will never achieve spiritual maturity. It's sad today when you look around on the Lord's churches and see the depths of spiritual immaturity. I mean babes. I mean newborn infants. They've been saved for years. They're still in the cradle. Still feeding on the milk. Still whining and crying all the time. Babes. Babies are very selfish. They might be cute, but they're selfish. Very selfish. A baby cries at 3 in the morning, don't care if you're sleeping or not. They're selfish. They're immature. Eventually they go past that. But there are many children of God, they never get past that. They're selfish because they're immature. So God help us. We're on a journey to spiritual maturity. We need to follow the guiding of the Spirit of God. And if we do that, we can live victoriously day after day. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us verse song. Let's all stand.